Okay, so thank you very much. Of course, as we have the final talk in this series, I again want to thank Stuart for his not just original idea, but for staying on all of us. And it's much appreciated. So the concept of Kedusha, of course, we know Kedusha. Kedusha is something that can only be said as part of a minyan. It's a public sanctifying of God's name. Rav Shimon Schwab says this is actually a fulfillment of the pasuk of the commandment, V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, that I should be sanctified among b'nei Yisrael, that every time we say Kedusha, we're fulfilling that pasuk. Just an interesting thing to think about. Rav Schwab also says that what Kedusha really, really is it's an expression of our yearning for the ultimate redemption in which we'll be able to praise God as the angels do. That's a very interesting way of thinking about it. And if you look at it in that light, it's not that different than Kaddish, which we spoke about last week. I mean, it is different. As I think, Linda, I think you were asking last week, it's similar expressions, but it's not the same. But this idea of expressing this yearning that we should get to the point that we're able to praise God as the angels do is a very interesting thing to think about. At its core, Kedusha is two, possibly three psukim. It depends how you count. And those are the psukim of Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. These are both verses, which we'll discuss in a few moments, but these are both verses that the angels say in praise to God. Therefore, the whole idea of Kedusha really is that we say to Hashem, you should give us the opportunity to praise you as the angels do. And we'll take the opportunity now and as part of a group. The reason I say two or possibly three is there is a third pasuk in Kedusha, which is Yimloch, that we say that God will rule forever. This is not a pasuk said by the angels. And halachically, it does not have the same status as the two other psukim in Kedusha. It's sort of an addendum to Kedusha. But the core of Kedusha are the first two psukim, Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. Now, as I'm sure people realize, there are nuances within Kedusha. Sometimes the introductory line of Kedusha changes. Certainly the lines in between the psukim change. But really at its base, it's these psukim. So in the weekday Kedusha, we always have a line of a preamble. I should have the art scroll English. I'm sorry.
Poor planning.
If people want to follow along, if anyone has the page. Thank you very much. Okay, so page 100 of the Art School English. You have here this introductory line. There's always an introductory line in Kedusha. We say, Nikadesh Shimcha Ba'olam, let us sanctify your name in the world. Kishem Shemakti Shimo Sobashme Marom, just like the angels sanctify it in the lofty heights. Kakasuvayad V'yecha, like is written through your Navi, V'kara Zel Zev Yomar, that one calls to the other and says, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So there's always that introductory line. There are variations of what exactly the introductory line is. It varies based on Nusach, and it also varies based on Tefillah. As, of course, we know, in Musaf, for example, the introductory line is different. The introductory line is Naritzcha v'naktishcha. We will praise you and we will sanctify you. So there is another very significant difference between Musaf on Shabbos and Yom Tov and the regular Kedusha format, which we'll point out a little bit later in the Kedusha. But it seems that difference in the introductory line sort of mirrors this difference later on. There are varying customs as to who even says the lines in between the psukim, right? So, for example, it's very common, my guess is most of us here, in weekday minyanim, we just say the psukim. Kadosh, 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 Hashem tzvakos melech al-aretz kvodo. The Chazan repeats that pasuk, and then the Chazan says, L'yumasam baruch yameiru. And then we say, Baruch kvod Hashem imkabo. The Chazan repeats it, says, V'dvrei kach chal kusuv limor. What's much more common on Shabbos is you have a lengthier interlude between the verses, and it's much more common for everybody to say that. And that lengthy interlude presumably is a special edition in honor of Shabbos and Yom Tov, that the composers of the tefillah thought it was appropriate to have this additional praise of Hashem. But what I'm really saying in a long-winded way is the core part of Kedusha's Tupsuk. Okay, now what many people are familiar with is the idea of kind of raising ourselves up a little bit at different parts of Kedusha. It's very, very common, Kadosh, 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 you know, each of the three Kadoshes to raise ourselves up a bit. It's also traditionally done with Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo and with Yimloch Hashem Li'olam, that third pasuk. What's the idea of raising ourselves up? So the Shibboleth HaLeket brings down a pasuk from Yeshaya that talks about in God's presence, the stones tremble before God. And so the Shibboleth HaLeket says, if the stones can tremble before God, maybe we can do a little bit of trembling before God also. And this idea of moving a little bit, as we say this praise to Hashem, is evoking this sense of reverence for God. The Baal HaTanya, when he talks about this idea, he says that you have Klal Yisrael looking upwards towards heaven and trying to raise themselves a little bit closer to God. That's this image of raising ourselves. So whereas the Shibboleth HaLeket says it's more a reflection of reverence, the Baal HaTanya looks at it as kind of a yearning for connection to God. And he very beautifully writes that this whole concept of Klal Yisrael yearning to connect with God is a great, great pleasure for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is, of course, another image that's probably most famous, that probably most people here are familiar with, the idea of emulating the malachim themselves, emulating the angels. So there's an idea that the angel has one leg, and that's the significance of putting our 2 feet together. And there's a concept of the angels hopping, so to say, in praise of God, towards God, whatever it is. So therefore, we kind of evoke that by going up and down, as we say the psukim. That's probably the most famous thing. But as we said, there are other concepts cited. Rav Schwab has a very interesting comment on this introductory line, Nekadesh Shimcha Ba'olam. This is an idea we've discussed in other settings of Tefillah too. Well, isn't that interesting? We'll sanctify your name. You know, I'll sanctify your name? How about we'll sanctify you? A little bit of a striking thing. So Rav Schwab says that we don't begin to understand God. It actually is somewhat of a brazen statement, though it's meant well, but it's somewhat of a brazen statement to say, God, we're going to sanctify you. Yeah, you know who I am? You understand me that you can sanctify me? So we say we're going to sanctify your name. A name, of course, is how one is referred to. So whether or not you pretend to really know who your friend is and really understand the depths of their personality, I at least know what name they're called. So the name that we call God is how we understand him. So I'm sure there's much more to it than my understanding. But my understanding, the name that I call you, I'll sanctify that name. I'll do everything I can to sanctify that name. By the way, what do we even mean when we say to sanctify? What does that mean? Make it holy. How does what I say or don't say make God's name holy? What does that mean? What do the words even mean? So if people remember, we actually said last week in the context of Kaddish that every time a person does the will of God in this world, it brings a sanctifying of God's name. That, I think, could certainly be said. But I think one could also say that the meaning here is that a davar kadosh is something separate. That at its most literal level, that's what kadosh means, that it's separate. So if I really reflect on God, if I really reflect on how lofty God is, so I have made his name separate, at least in my own understanding. I've elevated his name above. I've held it up in the prism of my own mind. I've held God's name above for reflection, for admiration, for reverence, etc. Okay, so Nekadesh Shimcha Ba'olam, let us sanctify your name in the world. K'shem Shemakti Shimo Soba Shmei Marom. Like they sanctify in the lofty heights. So we have this idea of the angels calling to one another and saying, what's the significance of them calling to one another? And why is this something that, like, we emphasize in the Navi, and that we emphasize, and now do we emphasize in the Navi, we have to talk about it in Tefillah? You know, it almost sounds like it's the beginning of some comic routine or something. So one angel calls to the other angel. I mean, it's a strange thing when you think about it. Why we should emphasize that? So the Avot Raham explains, and there's a lot of discussion about this in the Mefarshim, but the Avot Raham explains that the angels work very hard to synchronize themselves in prayer. That they call to each other, that at the very same moment they should proclaim Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And that's why it says in the Navi, Vikara Zel Zav Yomar, this one calls to that one and they say. I think this is very significant for us on two levels. I think one level is that it just speaks to the fact of God's central sanctity within the world, that like everything has to be focused on appropriately sanctifying his name, even in the world, even in the realm of the Malachim. I also think it would seem to speak that even in the realm of the Malachim, there's a value in sanctifying God's name as a group. In other words, the Malachim are very much focused. We have to do it exactly at the same time, because on some level, it's a greater kavod to Hashem that the Malachim are doing it together. Now, halavai, we should merit that when we daven as a minion, that we're all on the same page. But it's an interesting concept to reflect on, that even among the angels, there's a value in uniting in prayer. And then that's something that we're doing. Stuart, you look like you want to say something. Yeah.
Another thing you should tell us, that permission to each other. What is that about?
Right. So it seems to be a similar idea, that they're kind of like synchronizing and getting ready. I think in the Birchos Kriyashma, I think we're being a little more elaborate, and we're kind of trying to set the stage. You know, there are some who say it's a whole thing of showing the importance of proper honor for each other within the mode of honoring God. You could say that too. Yeah. Max? Sure. Yeah, I have to confess, I'm not the one to give a talk yet. But there's certainly such a concept of differing levels of angels. That's true, and which is part of also what's being elaborated on in Birchos Kriyas Shema. Yeah, there's different. You were just making a comment. The different levels of angels, different realms, and yeah. Thank you. Okay. It's never clear to me when my mother called me an angel for actually doing what she asked. It's never clear to me which level I attained. But okay, now we get to this famous idea of saying, it seems that we're saying God is holy three times over. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. And by the way, in Nusach Sfard, and I believe, if I remember correctly, also for us on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we have a language of Meshaushim Lecha Kedusha, that we say sanctity to you in triplicate, for lack of a better translation, Meshalshim, that we do it in a threesome. And that's a reference to Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. What's the significance of this threesome? So there are a number of ideas cited in the commentators of the significance of the threesome of God. Sorry, that didn't come out right. No, strike that from the record. Strike that, never mind. I don't think there's room for that one on the tape. I want to thank. Never mind. What'd you say? Back to Shema. We have one God, thank God. But we're saying a Kedusha in a three-tiered Kedusha. What's the significance of three? So there's a number of ideas cited. The Reb Yaakov has a whole list. One is Chachma Bin Adas, that there's different levels of wisdom. So the idea is that in all aspects of ability to analyze, God is truly Kadosh. That would be one. Tanakh, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, comes in a threesome. Moshe and his siblings were three. Miriam, Aaron, Moshe. We daven three times a day. In Klal Yisrael as a nation, there's an idea of a threesome, right? Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim. So this number three resonates through so much.
That's the way Yishael heard it.
Right. Now, that of course is the point. The question is, maybe I didn't pose the question well. What's the significance of it being said three times? And you could say differently, what's the significance of three, looking at God from a Judaic perspective? What's the significance of three? So what some of the Mefarshim do is they point out how many things are in trios within Judaism. By the way, there's a very famous Gemara in Shabbos that talks about, I'm not going to get it right, but it talks about threesomes also in terms of the giving of the Torah. It refers to Moshe as the third child, the Torah was given in the third month. You know, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. There's another threesome in there also. I forgot. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Now, the Avudram says that the Pshat in saying that Hashem is holy three times over is it's a way of saying there's no analyzing and no grasping his sanctity. In other words, it's like if you say it once, it's just an adjective. If you say it twice, it means it's very much so. Once you say it three times, the point is it's totally beyond our understanding. He's so kadosh, so separate from his concepts. Everything are so separate from anything that we would relate to. The Radak has a totally different pshat here. The Radak says that pshat in the pasuk is kadosh. Kadosh is this is the angel calling to another angel. I'm a little bit unclear if it's, you know, sometimes you have in psukim Avraham, Avraham. You know, it's saying one name twice. I think that's what the Radak means. That one angel calls the other angel, Kadosh, Kadosh, you know, sacred angel. It could be he means that. It could be that each one says to the other, like, Kadosh, Kadosh. So they together say, Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos, that God is holy. We says that's Pshat in the Pasuk. It's not that we're referring to God as holy three times over. It's that the holy beings are referring to God as holy too. That's how the Radak understands the Pasuk. The Radak also has a Pshat that we're saying that in all of the realms, God is truly above and separate. In the Olam HaElyon, in the upper realm, which is the realm of angels and souls, and the God is way beyond that realm. In the middle realm, which is the angels, which is the realm of stars and lights in the sky, the constellations, things of that sort. And then our lowly world, our world. In all of these, God is truly above. And then therefore, says the Radak, the point is, if in those other realms God is so much above and they sanctify God's name, then how much more so are we obligated to do so in our world? And then that's the whole connection of Kedusha. There is a running commentary of what these Kadoshes is, and that is what we say in Uval Tzion Goel. It's very interesting. It's referred to in Davening as Kedusha the Sidra. We actually say Kedusha multiple times in a day, the Pesukim of Kedusha multiple times in a day. We say it in the Chazan's repetition, and this is said as a minion. But we also say it, of course, in Birchos Kriyat Shema. When we're recreating what the angels, the praise the angels say, we cite these Pesukim. We cite the first two Pesukim, not Yimloch, but Baruch, Kadosh, Kadosh, Baruch, Kavod Hashem, Kamo. And we also do it in Uval Tzion Goel, at the end of davening. And Uval Tzion Goel, when we say those psukim, we actually give the Aramaic explanation of the Targum Yonasan in between. So how does he understand the threesome of Kedusha? So he says that God's name should be sanctified in the great heights. He says God's name should be sanctified on this earth. And then he says, and the sanctification of God's name should be forever and ever. So that's the idea of the threesome. So just to sum up, we have concepts that refers to different realms. We have concepts that it refers to, you know, different levels of wisdom, things of that sort. We have concepts that it refers to. We have a concept that refers to just saying that God's wisdom is just so far beyond us, just utterly, totally far beyond us. Okay, so we say he's Kadosh. Hashem Tzvakos, this name of Tzvakos is always an interesting thing. Tzva means a legion, it's in the plural. So just the pshat in the word, the Radak says that he's the master of the heavenly region, and he's the master of the legions down below, which speaks so well to what we're doing here. You know, to talk about you're the master of the angels up in heaven, you're our master too. Melo chol ha'aretz kvodo. All of the earth is full of his glory. What does that mean, that all of the earth is full of His glory? So the Rambam says that what it means, glory, is recognition by man that God is truly great. So that everywhere around this world, there are constantly opportunities for man to see the greatness of God. Melokh al ha'aretz kvodo. Now, hopefully we see it. The kavod is there, if we only open our eyes. He actually compares it to the famous pasuk, kol atzmosai tomarna Hashem michamocha, that all of my bones say Hashem who is like you. So what, our bones are speaking? How does that work? So he says our very existence calls out that there's no one like God. So Moloch Allah, he says a similar thing, Moloch Allah it's kvodo, the entire earth is opportunities to see God's greatness, if we only open our eyes. So He's so far beyond us. He's so much greater than us. He's so far beyond our understanding. And yet, even though I can't grasp Him, if I just look around, if I just keep my eyes open, I see many manifestations of His greatness. I see many manifestations of His kindness. Okay. If we spent all of our time on, we could spend a lot of time on the interludes between the psukim, but I just want to point out one or two that I found explanations that at least for me resonated. I think this one is from Musaf. Sometimes these words are hard to understand what we're actually saying. If you look on 464 in the Art Scroll English, right, 464. So if you see, we have the line of Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Melech HaLaretz Kvodo, and we say, Kvodo Molei Olam. His glory fills up the world. What's the point of that? I mean, you could say that it's a further expression of what the Rambam said before, that you know, wherever you look in this world is greatness of God. But his glory fills up the world. It's also a little bit difficult because it sounds like you can put your finger on God, which is always a difficult thing to understand. What do you mean by that? So the Avud Ram explains that by saying his glory fills the world, we're saying that the world is in his place and his place is not in the world. In other words, there was first God, and then once there was a God, there was a world. That's what we're emphasized by saying Kvodo Ba'alei Olam. Okay. Then we have this interlude where we say, Mishar Sav Shalim Zelazeh. His attendants ask each other, Aye Mekom Kvodo. Where is the place of God's glory? This is really strange. We just got finished saying that God's glory fills the world. Now we say, and so by the way, so the angels can't find his glory. So what does that mean? So the Avud Raham says that as we declare that his glory fills the world, we need to understand that he's totally above pinning to a specific place. So that even the great angels, if you would ask them, where is the glory of God? Which place is the glory of God? They can't pin him down either. So that's like we're balancing the earlier statement just to clarify that we don't mean that it can be defined by a place. Right, right. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that very soon. Yeah, but you're right. Thank you very much. Now, liyuma sam baruch yomeru. To each one, to each other, they say a blessing. So again, just if you think about these words, it's so difficult to relate to. So the angels are trying to figure out where God is, and now they say a blessing to. So what happened just now? They're wandering around. They're trying to find God. I guess they just give up. And so then they just say a blessing to each other. So if that's what's happening, fine. But why is this something we're emphasizing? So the Rebbe Yochar says that the pshat is they realize that they can't pin God down anywhere. And so then whichever direction they happen to be facing, liyum asam, just, you know, towards each other, they express a blessing of God because they believe that in whatever direction they're pointed in, they're talking to God. In other words, it's not that the takeaway was, we didn't find him yet, so the takeaway was, he's everywhere. He's not defined by place, and he's everywhere, so whichever direction the angels are pointing in, they just say a blessing in that direction. That's how the Rebbe Yarker explains the line. What is the prayer that, what is the praise that they now say? As Max said, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. Blessed be the glory of God from his place. It seems that the introductory line, which we just said, is supposed to accentuate something in this next pasuk, right? Though it's difficult to understand what that should be, very much because of what Max just said. So the Rebbe Yarker says, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo means wherever his place is, or in every place. Every place is his place. The angels try to pin him down to a place. They're not successful in pinning him down to a place. And therefore, they just, wherever, whichever way they're pointing, they just proclaim, Baruch Kavod Hashem, Mimkomo. That in whatever place it is God's glory is blessed. And I just want to remind everyone of things we said before in the context of Baruch and Kvod, that the idea is that any corner of this world is an opportunity for the greater manifestation of the presence of the kindness of God in this world. Any aspect of this world, by the way, presumably this spans time also. That's presumably part of the part of saying Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Any moment in time, any place is just another opportunity for the great, for the greatness of the revelation of the glory of God, if that people only open their eyes. Now, the Rambam has another approach over here. And the Rambam says that there are many times where we use the term makom, and it's not intended to define a specific place. So, for example, he talks about someone standing bimkom avosav. You have quotes like that. That a person stands in the place of his or her parents. I mean, you mean it's they go to a specific spot and they say, this is my parents' place? That's not the pshat. The pshat is a person is sort of like assuming the role, reaching the level of earlier generations. You have a language the Rambam brings down. Every now and then, there's a dispute in the Talmud, and the Talmud will say, machlokes bimkoma omeres. The dispute stays at its place, stands in its place. What does that mean? That means, you know, if you look in the back left corner of the room, you'll find the dispute. It's hard to understand that. So he says again, makom means level, status. So he says, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo, that his plane, whatever exactly is God's plane, should be blessed.
And why is it from Mimkomo?
So I believe what I've seen before, I just want to repeat the comment, which is a good point. Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo, blessed be the glory of God from his place. From his place, it should be in his place. Right.
To his place.
So I think I saw someone say, I forgot who though, that mimkomo, from his place, actually accentuates the lack of clarity that we have. In other words, if I say he's blessed in his place, that implies I'm pointing somewhere, that's his place, and I'm blessing him over there. Whatever exactly is the place of God, he should be blessed. That's mimkomo, from his place. It's more vague by design. That it's, we don't really, and even if you understand it's referring to a level, I understand the level of God. So whatever is his level, he should be blessed. That's. Yes? I think so, if I'm not confused, I think so. What? Yeah, I mean, this is a praise the angels say in the celestial realms, too. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, we don't mean to say that God is restricted to the Beis HaMikdash. You know what I mean? No, it was a special place that the Jewish people could come, and other nations of the world also could come to be inspired by the presence of God, but I don't think we mean to say that he's limited there. Okay. So now, if we're still on 464... we skip ahead to a very interesting thing. All of a sudden, Shema Yisrael works its way into the Kedusha. Now, that's interesting also because it doesn't work its way into the Kedusha The weekday Kedusha doesn't even work its way in Kedusha into the Shacharis for Shabbos. Just Musaf, Shabbos, and Yom Tov works its way in. How did it get in? So the Avudraham brings down from the Gaonim that there was a time where the Jews were restricted in at least partially from their prayers. And the ruling parties understood that Shema was a very significant prayer for the Jews. And so they restricted them from saying Shema. So the Jews struck Shema from the standard place in the Tefillah. But they got back because they tucked it into Kedusha. So in other words, it wasn't Shema in the traditional sense, it wasn't the full-length Shema, but at least to say the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, they inserted it in Kedusha. In the middle of Kedusha, they put this line that his, you know, your loving nation says the verse, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Now, that used to be that every time they would say Kedusha, they would say Shema Yisrael in the Kedusha. Now, the time ultimately came where Baruch Hashem, we weren't restricted in that manner anymore. But the decision was to retain it in some aspect, to retain the Shema and the Kedusha in some respect, not to make it a regular part of the Kedusha, but to make it occasionally a part of the Kedusha. It was felt that during Musaf it made sense to insert it, because Musaf is a tefillah that doesn't have Shema, right? And it's Shabbos, Yom Tov, it's an occasional tefillah. So to remember the kindness of being able to say Shema in the regular way, they still kept it there in the Kedusha. That's at least the Avudraham's version of why Shema is sometimes in the Kedusha. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, right.
Also,
that's true.
Since
yeah.
We say it twice, and of course, if they weren't able to say it in the morning, this sort of gives them a second opportunity to say it.
Right. I don't know. I'm not clear if they said this exact preamble before or not. I don't know. I don't know. It's a fair point. I don't know. The Rebar Yakar says that this is actually a sort of almost a chain discussion going on. He says, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo is the praise of God said by the celestial beings. So we're quoting the celestial beings. We say, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. That's what the celestial beings say. We don't know so much from Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. We say it in Kedusha because we want to be like the celestial beings. But we don't know so much from that. What we know from is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So first you have the angel saying Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo, the Klal Yisrael saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then God responding to Klal Yisrael, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am Hashem, your God. Just again, we're not saying that that's what's going on here, but it's kind of alluding to each group here says a verse that's appropriate for them. And then we close out Kedusha with Yimloch Hashem Liolam, that God should rule forever, your God, Zion, from generation to generation, praise God. The Rebbe Yakar says that this verse was not said by the angels. This is a pasuk from Tehillim. And because of the fact that it's not said by the angels, it's not a core part of Kedusha. As we said before, the core of Kedusha is Kadosh, 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 Baruch Kvod Hashem Kamo. Yimloch is like an end point for Kedusha. And the reason it doesn't have the same status as the others is it wasn't the verse said by the angels. So that's now the Avudraham raises a very interesting question. The Yimloch Hashem Liolam is a very nice pasuk. You know, we don't say Yimloch Hashem Liolam in Uval Tzion Goel. Right? In Uval Tzion Goel, we say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. We say Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. And we say Hashem Yimloch Liolam Voed. God will rule forever. Which is a very similar pasuk to Yimloch Hashem Liolam. Right? But we say Hashem Yimloch Liolam Voed. We don't say Yimloch Hashem Liolam. Okay. But I'm saying, but he's elaborating on that. But by the way, Hashem Yimloch Liolam Voed is a Torah pasuk. So why don't we just say Hashem Yimloch Liolam Voed? So the Avudraham suggests that what's really great about this pasuk is one word. What's uniquely great about this pasuk is one word, Tzion. Tzion refers to Klal Yisrael in its redeemed state. And that we Yimloch Hashem Liolam, we pray that God should rule forever. But in addition to praying that God should rule forever, we say Elokayach Tzion. When we talk about God, we're talking about your God, Zion, meaning that the day should come where Klal Yisrael is able to serve God appropriately in a redeemed state. And that's being alluded to in the Kedusha, in this special manner. And as we said a while back, part of the whole theme of the Kedusha is that we pine for the time where we'll be able to praise God appropriately like the angels. And Rav Schwab just points out that that's the flow then. L'dor v'dor nagid God lecha. Right? So the real postscript of Kedusha is the chazan, instead of saying the bracha of the atah kadosh, he says a variation on it, l'dor v'dor. So the pasuk ended off, yimloch Hashem li'olam u'kayetzion, l'dor v'dor, God will rule from generation to generation. And now we say, yes, we will speak of God's greatness from generation to generation. And that's like the closure of the idea of Kedusha, that we recognize and hope for the day that we can truly understand how lofty God is compared to us. Okay. Any comments, questions? Mr. Saltzman.
What is the connection between the Mikdash and Kodo? We're saying, let's sanctify Hashem, and then, as it says, Kodosh, 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 and then at the end of that pasuk is Mochol Eretz Kodo. I might have thought it would say Mochol Eretz
Kedusha So. Yeah.
And it goes to Kodo, Kodosh, Kodosh, Hashem.
Okay, so right. Okay, so I think I've got answers for everything except Kvodo versus Godlacha. That you got me. But I think it's a very valid point that you're raising. I think Kvodo, and for that matter Godlo, are manifestations of his benevolence in our lives and his awesome conduct and creation of this world. That's him. We need to speak of his kavod or his greatness, or Godlech. But to be mekadesh him is to recognize that he's beyond. That has to specifically be by our declaration. So in other words, we declare Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, that he's far beyond us. Ironically, the way we know that he's beyond us is we realize that the after effects of his greatness are prevalent throughout the world. His Kedusha, there's no such thing as Kedusha So being in the world, because the whole meaning of Kedusha So is he's beyond our world. But he's so beyond that his impact is felt everywhere around the world. Not him, but his impact. Like kavod, by the way, is honor, right? So what that really means is the way I look at you is the regard I have for you, the kavod I have for you. But that's not you. But so my ability to grasp him is wherever I turn in this world. But it's just a snippet of what he really is. So he's kadosh to the third degree. You know, he's kadosh. But the world is full of his kavod. So that's the first statement. The baruch kavod Hashem komo. Then from where, as we said, from wherever exactly that place is, my gosh, there's so much kavod Hashem that emanates. And for generations, we have to, from one generation to the other, by the way, we have to speak of God's greatness. And if we do that, then we are reminding ourselves of how beyond he is. By the way, L'dor v'dor nagid godlecha, father to son, grandparent to grandchild, you know, mother to daughter, will speak of your greatness. Netzach netzachim is eternity. So in the eternal realms, we'll express how far beyond you are. But it's like two. If, I don't know if I'm making any sense, but it's like two. Thank you for pointing it out. It's like two different tracks almost, but they're fundamentally connected. I think that's the way to look at it. Thank you, Linda. Did you? What's the concern about repetition? Okay, so I think there's two concerns about repetition, and I think we could say this for many, many parts of davening. I don't think it's unique to Kedusha necessarily. So one concern about repetition is, let's scratch that. Three concerns about repetition. So one concern about repetition is that when you're saying full psukim, the license to say the name of God in a pasuk is if you're saying the pasuk as it is. So, Baruch Kvod 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 Hashem Mimkomo. So I don't know what I just said, but it wasn't a pasuk that I just said. You know, I mean that's a very technical thing. The second thing is even not a pasuk, even not Hashem's name. There was a lot of thought that went into these words. And the idea of essentially rewording the prayer because someone has a good tune, I think is fundamentally bothersome. In other words, it really is not giving appropriate due to the people who put together this tefillah. Thirdly, I think there's somewhat of a practical thing that I think it's common practice to not allow repetitions, just because when you do, who knows, you know, you could, you know. And then, by the way, if the chazan starts repeating, the rabbi is not inclined to give a short drusha. In other words, if the chazan can go on and on, you know, the rabbi is going to do his thing. But in all, I think that honestly is part of it. But to me, on a very basic thing, like there was a real cheshbon behind these words, you know. So like that, I don't know. Yeah.
Some repeat Kadosh, and others don't. I've seen it both ways.
Oh, you mean something totally different. Okay, I'm sorry. I got on a soapbox for no reason. Okay, here's the story. What you're touching on, I think this is something we discussed in the Chazan class also. Is the Chazan supposed to repeat the Pasuk, or is the Chazan just supposed to say the Pasuk at the same time as the congregation, or something in between? That's what you're getting at. Right, so I think the most standard thing is for the chazan to delay a little bit, to only say it once, to begin, this is what we spoke about, so it was a little confusing, to begin saying it while the congregation is finishing off saying the long piece, so he's kind of saying it with the congregation, but the point is that as he sort of lingers and says it slowly, they'll hear him saying it. I don't think it's normal for the chazan to say it twice. I think it's normal for the chazan to say it once, but to time it in a way that people can clearly hear him. Okay, great. Thank you. But I didn't repeat the same answer. It was two different things. Fine. Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Let me just go through very briefly, because it's a halachic question that people ask a lot. These two psukim specifically of Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kvod are considered very special to answer. It's a very beautiful way to sanctify God's name. What happens if a person is in another part of the tefillah? So basically, what we're saying now is specifically for these two psukim, and not for the things in between. So basically, anywhere other than Shmona Esrei, it's appropriate to stop what you're saying and respond with these two psukim. That's the basic bottom line. Shmona Esrei, the idea of interrupting Shmona Esrei is something we're not inclined to do. So there's a fascinating response for Shmona Esrei, which is you're just supposed to stop in the middle of Shmona Esrei and just listen to someone say these two psukim, preferably the chazan, say these two psukim. Now, when you're in the last page of Shmona Esrei, what in most Siddurim's last page, that paragraph like after the bracha, Elokai Nitzor L'Shonim Meirosa, so that you could interrupt and say these two psukim. But any other part of Shmona Esrei, you're just supposed to listen to the chazan, and then keep on going. When it's Shabbos and Yom Tov and the Chazan is taking a while to get from one pasuk to the next, you actually are allowed to keep on davening until he gets to the next part, which in certain circumstances takes a while. Anything else? Yeah, Mr. Myers. Yeah, I think that's a good question. Presumably the reason we don't say Kedusha for Maariv is because Maariv is a lesser level obligation than the other tefillos, and so therefore they didn't institute a Chazan's repetition for Maariv. And being they didn't institute a Chazan's repetition for Maariv, they didn't see the need to have a Kedusha setting for Marv. It seems. Judy?
What if you're just passing through in a show like ours where people just find themselves passing through Manhattan and maybe there's something else?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Thank you. It seems the standard practice in Klal Yisrael is if you hear people saying Kedusha, you stop what you're doing and you say Kedusha also, which makes sense. I mean, you know, here it is, there's this very public praising of God. We want to, you know, like you imagine, you're walking through this room, God, let us praise you as the angels above praise you. And like, as they're saying that, you're like, I'm just on my way to Kiddush. It seems a little strange. So it does seem appropriate. Now, having said that, but I should mention, though it's common to keep your feet together through Hokel HaKadosh, that's common practice, it seems the real halachic obligation does not extend past the Dor V'Dor HaLuka. You'll see every now and then people, one thing's for sure, if you're davening Shemoneh Esrei or something, you know, you definitely should continue once they get to the Dor V'Dor. Common practice is to keep your feet together, you know, through Hokel HaKadosh. But some are definitely lenient once you get past Yimloch, you know, once you finish that Pasuk of Yimloch. So sometimes you'll see people, like as Kedusha is finishing, they're kind of walking by. So maybe that's what's going on. But if it's like real Kedusha, I think it's appropriate to stop and put your feet together and respond. Cheers. I thought you were listening to me. If we really hear them clearly, we really hear them clearly, like exactly what they're saying, or it's like we're sort of...
Sometimes it's a lot clearer than other times.
Interesting.
You have to be, like, you have to be in the same room.
It's not that you have to be in the same room. I think you have to, like, I think you should be hearing it clearly in order to yeah. Yeah, now, yes, now, yes. Just in time, now that the clock's changed. Thank you for raising the... okay. Yeah, Judy?
So going back to the even if you're passing through, that would be even if you are in doubt, then you are...
I think so, yeah. I would say so, yeah.
Okay, very practical question for the finished community.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, Yashikah. Thank you very much. Thank you.